bring smiles to all when shopping online with Dell Technologies Gift Guide. Whether it's for the artist, the entrepreneur, the student, the streamer, or the gamer, you'll find the perfect gift for everyone on your list. Dell.com/gift guide makes gifting easy with a carefully curated selection of our best tech. Shop now to explore innovative laptops, desktops, and this season's top accessories. Plus, get select savings on impressive PCs like the XPS 13 laptop powered by the latest Intel Core processors. Visit Dell.com/gift guide today for details and get a jump on your holiday gift list. That's Dell.com/gift guide.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Y'all ready?
All right, let's go.
The Rich Eisen Show with guest host Andrew Siciliano.
He pushes and sneaks. Touchdown, Eagles. It works again.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Wide open, Tariq. Touchdown, Miami.
They give it to McCaffrey off the left side. Touchdown.
Today's guests, host of the Rich Eisen Show, Rich Eisen, plus your phone calls, Overreaction Monday, and more. And now, sitting in for Rich, it's Andrew Siciliano.
Oh, there will be overreaction today, I promise you. Matter of fact, we might dedicate an entire segment to overreacting for what we saw yesterday. Like, the Niners are the best team in football. I don't think that's an overreaction at all. I think the Eagles are good. I don't think they're as good as the Niners. How about the Patriots are the worst team in football? I don't think that's an overreaction either. As a matter of fact, I think we should start asking the question, is Bill Belichick going to make it through the season? I do think we should ask that. Do I think Robert Kraft would fire him? No, I don't think so. But we got to have some very difficult conversations, don't we? When the worst two losses in his head coaching career coming consecutive weeks here in the middle of 2023, as he is still 18 wins away from Don Shula, and those 18 wins feel like they might take 4 years to get. That team is awful. I'm just not trying to be mean. They're just bad. I know it. TJ knows it. Del Tufo knows it. And I know Chris Brockman knows it as well. Hi, guys. Happy Monday.
Hey, thanks for... That's a great start. Now I'm depressed.
Yeah.
I mean, I
could have piled on TJ's Cowboys.
Because when the season started, Rich is listening right now. He can hear us. What? I said this would be Bill's last year in New England on our Overreaction Monday.
It is going
Monday
to be Bill's last year in New England.
Podcast.
Write it down. I firmly believe that.
2 years ago, I said he was on the hot seat. I got laughed at. And this before the season started, last year in New England, laughed at. Who's laughing now, Rich Eisen?
Welcome to the show.
I'm not laughing.
Rich,
I am not laughing.
Good morning to you, sir.
You know, I have too many. New England fans in my world, in my house. So I am not. I am not sitting here and gloating or feeling anything other than concern for those New Englanders in my world. I think you're nuts if you think he's going to... When you say he might not last the season, Andrew, what do you mean? You think he'll just quit? Like his tenure in New England must be like, I'm out?
No, that was overreaction. What I think might happen...
Ah, I see what you're saying.
What I think might happen. It would not stun me if there has long been talk of a succession plan with Gerard Mayo behind him.
Yep.
I was there in March at the league meeting in Arizona when Robert Kraft gave his off-season state of the franchise briefing to the assembled masses. And when pressed about Bill staying on to get to Don Shula, he went out of his way multiple times to say, we're not about individual records. We never have been. It's about making the playoffs. There were some who speculated maybe there might have been a Mayo coach in waiting announcement made then. It wasn't. It would not surprise me if things continue to go downhill. Maybe they become sellers at the trade deadline. You never know. If it gets to that point midseason where you talk that this may be it. But no, I don't think Robert Kraft would ever fire him midseason.
That may be an internal conversation at some point. But right now, it is unprecedentedly bad. It is something that I haven't seen in, since... Obviously, Dick McPherson, you know what I mean? Like you got to go back to those days before Parcells came, but, maybe we'll hit that a little bit later on. The thing I want to hit to start this thing off is TJ, are you okay?
Perfect, man.
Hey, Rich, so you
and
know.
You're all right. Okay, that's good. Hold that's
on.
Good.
Come on,
Rich. I'm glad I'm seeing you on camera. Mm-hmm. It's good to see you.
I mean, it was. I'm not gonna.
Wanted to check in.
You know, like, how about that, you know, Cowboys?
Like the proverbial welfare check on Shambly.
Wow.
Yes. You know, to quote Rodney Dangerfield, I'll tell you more right now. But last week, look, I was in rough shape. That was last week. So Sunday's last week. Okay. This is a whole new week.
Let me just say this to you.
Positive.
Okay. Let me just say this to you. When it comes to, you know, last night's game in San Francisco, the measuring stick, that's what the Cowboys were having. That measuring stick game against the San Francisco 49ers. The San Francisco 49ers grabbed the measuring stick, hit the Dallas Cowboys over the head with it, and beat them with it repeatedly.
I mean, they did.
Over and over
again. In the head and neck area.
That is exactly what happened. And I hate to say this, but it is, you know, my, I guess, prerogative zooming in from London on this program.
It's your show, dude.
But it has nothing to do with the Cowboys when I say this.
Oh, boy. Here he goes.
But I hate to say, I told you so, about Brock Purdy. I told you. I'm not the only one. I'm not saying I was the only one, but I was one of the few. When the Dallas Cowboys were riding high, taking out Jets and Joneses and everybody else, when the New York Giants got whipped by the San Francisco 49ers that Thursday night to open week three, I sat in the chair and I started the program saying, why not Brock Purdy for most valuable player in this league? And last night, we saw it again, and I'm sure everyone will sit here and go, well, he's got a great tight end. He scored three times. Well, I mean, he's got Christian McCaffrey. Week before, he scored four times. Well, he's got a great defense that turned it over, over and over and over again. The guy in the stadium who was there, who if Purdy was not playing this way, you would have seen more shots of this guy than Taylor Swift on Sunday Night Football last week. If Purdy was playing like Dak, or even worse. I'm not saying that Dak is bad. I'm saying Dak had a bad night. If Purdy was playing like that and had been playing like that all season long, the camera would have been zoomed right in on Trey Lance all night long. But it wasn't, because this guy is playing lights out week in, week out, seeing the Cowboys defense, seeing Wink Martindale lighten him up with the Giants defense, seeing everybody trying to take him out, and he is as cool as a cucumber, and he is accurate. He is deadly. He is, through 5 weeks, and I know you guys spoke about this earlier on in the program because I'm highly attuned to at Rich Eisen Show X feed. Sorry, Chris.
Rich, it's Twitter. Come on, man.
I understand Brock Purdy is the most valuable player in this league through 5 weeks' time. And he is only, I'm assuming, going to get better. Let's see next week. Next week. Hey, Andrew. Coming up on Sunday. Hey,
coming up.
Okay. Miles Garrett.
Dorian Thompson Robinson of the Browns.
Oh, well, I don't know. I know for some reason that Deshaun wasn't at practice today to start. But there's still that Grim Reaper in Cleveland that would love to add Brock Purdy's name to that Halloween getup that I'm sure he's getting ready for his front lawn. He'd love to put Brock Purdy's name on a headstone in his front lawn in suburban Cleveland, Ohio, because Miles Garrett does that to everybody, and he's going to be coming for Purdy. Let's see what happens here. I don't want to hear how good this team is in an excuse to not give Brock Purdy what everyone would be given, Burrow and Mahomes and Allen and Hurts, if they were playing like Brock Purdy's been playing. That's my takeaway. And the Dallas takeaway is, TJ, I still believe your team. No, hold on a second. I still believe your team is a playoff team. They're a playoff team. And I know, Chris, I'm sniffing an overreaction Monday subject that the Cowboys are not going to make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I'm smelling it. I don't know if you have it for either our segment coming up
Stay
or
tuned.
For the podcast that I'll be doing from this hotel room with you later on. Overreaction Monday pod is going to go down.
It's a lovely room, this by the way. It looks like a lovely room.
It's finally appointed.
Yep.
Just like the San Francisco 49ers. Listen, TJ, I am not concerned about your team making the playoffs.
Ooh, I'm
concerned about them going deep in the playoffs. We just saw the measuring stick. I'm willing to give you Arizona as the clunker because Trevon Diggs had just gone down. Your team may have been shocked, awed, whatever.
Three offensive linemen not starting.
Got it. Understand. Last night, though, you had to go into San Francisco and make a game of it and maybe come out with that win. Instead, just an absolute curb stomping that Dak says was the most humbling game he's ever been a part of. Yeah.
So essentially you're saying the Niners were Jeffrey Dean Morgan's Negan in The Walking Dead, and he took his bat Lucille and brain Glenn and Abraham, who were the Cowboys, and just...
Yes, if you want to go with a zombie analogy, yes.
What language are you speaking of?
The Walking
Dead. It was a very Walking Dead type performance, for sure, you know? And I stayed up to watch a little bit of it. I got a gist and went to sleep.
Yeah, you didn't need to watch much, Rich. You didn't need to watch much.
So I think I got a sense. It was also 2 a.m. here, you know, after calling Jags Bills. And I watched every down. I was all over, you know, red zone. I was all over everything else that was going on yesterday. I was all over the Game Pass, the Game Pass.
International Game Pass, which works
International
wonderful
Game
over
Pass,
there, yeah.
Everybody. I was all
good
over
stuff.
That, sir.
And, great
and I was watching
man,
all the games
the
best I can.
Yes,
and I stayed up
job.
For that game, got the gist, and then done with it.
Went to bed. I wish I would have done the same.
I will tell you this, though. I still think you're a wild card team. I still think that you might be that 5 or 6 seed that can make some hay against the NFC South winner. I'd love to see Dallas and Detroit have at it. Oh, my goodness, would that be something else in Detroit? Because, you know, and I want to get to the Lions in a hot second here. But to me, Dallas is still a playoff team. But the 49ers, that's why I've had them atop the power rankings list. That's why I believe, you know, they are the best team in the NFC. Can't wait for that Week 13 game against Philadelphia. There's lots to go between now and then. But that was a complete ass kicking on Sunday Night Football. And Brock Purdy's the MVP through 5 weeks.
Totally with you on all that. I want you to know, Rich, that when TJ walked in this morning, about 1:20 before the show, we're all sitting here at the desk having coffee, catching up over the weekend. TJ walked in and I offered what I meant. It truly was a heartfelt like, hey, man, sorry.
Yeah, right.
And he immediately kind of bowed up and was like, wow, hitting me with that right when I walk in the door. Like, I haven't even sat down. And I'm like, wait, whoa.
TJ.
Like, I mean it. Like, we've all been there.
TJ, you guys are saying, I wasn't
we've
mad
all been there.
It.
Like, I'm sorry,
all
dude.
Been there.
But he was ready to fight because of how you opened this hour. He just thought... He just was
right. That is not true, Rich. You know, I always treat guests with a lot of respect. So, you know,
Rich, I know that.
I would never, you know, those are the words that I said, but not the cadence upon which they were said. Okay. It was more
understood.
Like, oh, really?
Understood,
just
TJ.
Right off the bat.
Look, but I got tons of texts on the opening Monday night of the season, you know, as if a family member had just perished when Aaron Rodgers went down, you know.
How
so
about
I understand
the Jets yesterday.
All right, let's talk about the Jets yesterday because I did. That's what definitely kept me up. And I thought to myself when Zach threw that interception with a couple minutes to go to give the ball to Denver for one last needing only half the field for a game tying field goal. I thought to myself, Ed, did I stay up till 1 a.m. just for this?
I've lost sleep over this.
That's literally what I thought to myself.
Literally.
I'm like sitting here in my hotel room, in my finally appointed hotel room.
Finally appointed.
And,
Rich's finally by the way, appointed this, hotel
this,
fantasy
this,
name.
This artwork that's on the wall, if you zoomed with Kurt Warner and everyone else, it's the same. They must have like 90 of these. Just hang it
in one every room?
It's in every room. It's in every room.
Taken right from the Tate Modern. Yep.
Honestly, so at any rate, that said, I'm sitting here in this room, 1 a.m. I'm thinking to myself, did I really stay up till 1 a.m. just to watch this axe in the chest? Is that really what's happening? And then the Jets defense that had completely bowed up throughout much of that second half came up with that final turnover. By the way, on the drive over to the Tower Bridge to do the NFL Total Access hit that I did with Kurt Warner today, I asked him, what did Sean Payton say to Russell Wilson as Russell had come off the field after that fumble return for a touchdown that came because he was trying to make a play late? And he said that Sean Payton said to him that he was hot, not that Sean Payton was hot, but that the hot receiver is exactly what Russell should have thrown
to.
It was
the running back linebacker, who was hot. Yeah.
Correct. That the linebacker, I believe it was Quincy Williams. What we're seeing here is Jermaine Johnson on the screen. It was another giveaway by Russ. But it was Quincy Williams coming in, and it was his running back that Quincy had left to go rush that Russ should have hit. That's what Sean Payton was telling him. And, you know, what we're seeing out of Russ, unfortunately, is just a lot of running and not much else. And it's truly amazing how the first five games under Sean Payton has not been an improvement at all from the Nathaniel Hackett era, in quotes. And that's what was kind of great for me to see, is I wanted to see another week of Zach having the light on. Now, the light was completely off at the end of the first half when he lost track of time. And clearly, these are mistakes that against better opponents will come home to roost and cause the Jets to lose a game. That said, it didn't on this day because the defense got it done. And then Zach made some nice throws in this game, albeit one was picked. But he made some nice throws, some over the middle, some on play action. I saw more from Zach, and then obviously Breece Hall getting it done, dude, and showing up like he did. He takes long strides. I mean, he is big. He runs hard, and he takes these long strides that wind up giving him a burst. And whatever, you know, he was caught from behind against the Bills, and he was caught from behind a couple of weeks ago as well.
Not anymore.
That guy's gone.
Yeah.
He's out the gate, and this is a huge development because it was on that stadium's turf that he blew out his knee last year. So I feel, you know, I can't believe that it feels like the Jets won two in a row. But again, their record right now this season is 2-2-0-1, with that last one being a moral victory against the Chiefs. I'm still looking in the standings to see that fourth column, but I don't see it.
And they get the Eagles this week.
That's right. And so this, to me, before a bye week, like going home and, you know, I stopping the brotherly shove and figuring out how to beat the Eagles would be a very tall order. But that said, on this day, struggling to get the ball in the end zone, struggling to actually get points before the half, struggling against a Broncos team that clearly is struggling in its own right, I started feeling very poorly, and then the third quarter was stupendous, and then Breece Hall got it done, and then Breece Hall returned the fumble recovery for a touchdown, and then I decided to go to sleep, and I'm like, let me check out what's going on with the Niners and Cowboys, and then 10 minutes later, I went to sleep.
And then it put you to sleep. I want to play you. I don't know if you saw this over there. I didn't see it until this morning. I was at Eagles, this one flew under the radar. The Nathaniel Hackett, I'm sorry. Yeah, no, I almost said Paul. Nathaniel Hackett storyline here, winning it for the OC and former Broncos head coach, the Sean Payton. So unceremoniously and without class, I could say it, threw under the bus this past summer. Did you see CJ Uzama's pregame huddle speech?
No.
To the Jets? Roll the tape, Hoskins. If you had trouble hearing it, it's they made this bleep personal, so bleep him and bleep them.
Ah,
this
I thought it was a truck backing up.
Is for Nathaniel Hackett. Okay. And they went out and made him a captain before the game. And if you see afterwards when they're all hugging it out with Nathaniel Hackett on the sideline, his face is all black. It's because there were so many guys hugging him. Their eye black.
I was wondering about what that was.
On his
face.
Oh,
yeah. I saw like he had a big, huge smudge on his face. I just thought that was just, you know, the black cloud that was hanging overhead when Zach threw that last pick. But that's just me being a Jet fan. You know, hey, look, whatever they want to use, whatever they can get together. I just love Saleh's demeanor. I love the fact that he's held everything together. And they have a shot to go home and really put a huge pelt on the wall and get to 500 before going on a bye. And then finally get through this hellish part of their schedule and have it kind of lighten up. But they're not one of those teams that can just roll it out and beat an opponent because they have a better roster. They're just not there yet because Zach just needs to keep getting better. But, you know, after that first quarter against the Chiefs, and it was basically, you know, a foregone conclusion that it was going to be a Kelce, you know, love fest with, you know, Taylor Swift on NBC, and then it all turned around. It's I'm just very pleased to see the win. I was thrilled to see an actual offensive snap with the lead that happened for the first time all season in the third quarter of this game. So that was fun. And just things are looking up, that they're not in last place. They have an actual light on with their quarterback, and we'll see what happens. So that's my two cents on that game.
Can I show you Jets Twitter as well?
Oh, yeah, you're talking about Kevin James making an
hilarious
appearance.
Look at this.
Look at that.
So funny.
What's with now, by the way, this is well done. You know, I guess they put it, you know, Kevin James as Sean Payton in the movie about Sean Payton's sabbatical. Yeah. They put him in Broncos gear. Well done. But what is the deal with the Kevin James meme? What am I missing? What's happening?
So I tried to go down the rabbit hole on Google on that about 2 weeks ago. Somehow it took off somewhere, and it's one of those things that, hey, Chris, like Rich, how often do you think about the Roman Empire? It's something like that that just took off, and it's stupid, and it deserves, like, I can't even
begin to explain
it.
It's like a King of Queens promotional photo shoot that's a Getty image, and it's just kind of like.
What does it mean? What does it mean? Does it mean something?
It just kind of means, like, you're giving a look, like, I don't know.
Or what does it mean?
Okay.
Yes, it memes nothing.
Well done.
Yes, well done. It truly memes nothing. But credit to Jets Twitter, who did far better than Bears Twitter last Thursday as they flew to Washington and showed five guys getting on the plane saying, name
I saw
this
that.
Band.
You went all in on it, and then they put up 40 on the Commanders.
I know, but some of the answers were like Maroon 0-5.
They were really funny. They're really funny.
Maroon 0-5.
That was so
good. That's good. I didn't see that one.
All right. Maybe we overreacted to that. We will not overreact to the Jets' big victory because it meant something to a lot. Coming up, we will overreact to the rest of the Sunday schedule with Rich calling in from a well-appointed hotel room in London on the appropriately named Rich Eisen Show.
All right, folks, let's talk about Game Time, and let's talk about buying tickets to big time events, because it can be worrisome, it can be time consuming, and it can be expensive. So Game Time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. You can see the view from your seat before you buy, so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. They have all-in prices that show you your total up front, so you know you're getting a great deal without hidden fees. And how easy is it to use? You can buy tickets on Game Time in seconds with two taps, and there's a Game Time guarantee, which means you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. It is so awesome. I use it. You should as well. For sports, music, comedy, did I mention theater events? All near you. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, it's so easy, and use code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Restrictions apply. Visit GameTime.co for terms. Again, create an account and redeem the code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
Millions of listeners and thousands of five-star reviews rave about the hit podcast series In the Red Clay. The unbelievable story of Billy Sunday Burt, the most dangerous man in Georgia history.
He was a whiskey man, bank robber, hit man. He was a murderer. He's also my father.
Seasons 1 and 2 are available to binge right now, and bonus episodes are coming soon. Imperative Entertainment presents In the Red Clay. Get the podcast wherever you listen.
It's the Rich Eisen Show, everybody. I'm Andrew sitting in for Rich because Rich is on the other side of the globe, thereabouts, roughly, in a lovely and a well-appointed London hotel room.
What does well-appointed mean?
What does well-appointed
mean? It's finally appointed. There's artwork that's in every other room. So I can make my own coffee in here, too. And by the way, just in terms of,
look at you.
So you understand the sacrifices I make.
Yes. You're working hard for all of us.
Show.
Oh,
yes.
My gosh.
I just turned down service.
Turned down for what?
Okay.
turned down service.
Turned down service, TJ. It's where they turn down your bed and leave a little chocolate on the pillow.
I know.
And then maybe just leave a little something else, some waters and whatever. It's just, it's a very... very, you know, nuanced service.
And I'm used to Motel 6.
And it's a little something extra that I turned down
for the effort. Yeah.
Because I think it would have been odd to have had a member of the staff of the hotel walking around here behind me while I was doing the program.
Rich, is the room as nice as the Embassy Suites in North Canton?
Whoa.
Bro, is that the spot that I gave you a room for that night so you could go to Joe Thomas's? I did.
Yes,
I left early.
You left early,
and he needed a room. You needed to stay so you could go hang out and celebrate Joe Thomas.
And
right?
You were kind enough to gift me your room, and we even had someone put on new sheets and clean the room and everything. It was lovely.
Look
and
at you guys.
All I'm saying is that turn down service there is not the same as here, despite how great of a hospitality I have in Ohio. All I'm saying is I just made a sacrifice. Just pointing it out.
You made a sacrifice to appear on your own show, man. You're a
yes, 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 TJ. If I didn't do that, I'd have a little mint on the pillow right now. Oh, you understand?
hold on. Stay right there. Stay right there in 5, 4,
gosh, that's
3,
funny. That
2.
Is, that's
and
funny.
We're now back to a radio audience on the Rich Eisen Show. We're just having a laugh, as they would say here.
Spitting facts.
If this were a Ricky Gervais show, are you having a laugh? We're having a laugh. Rich is in London. I'm Andrew. We're laughing about hotels and turn down service. I'm at the Rich Eisen Show desk.
Wow.
It's furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call or click Grainger.com or just stop by. Now back to the regularly scheduled tomfoolery and hijinks.
Yes. Yes.
Hey, Rich, did you see everyone else's room? Like, is you and Kurt, you got the same size room? Like, no, he's not bigger.
Well, no, so what
we did is we
had to Zoom prior to the game with the Bills. The Bills didn't arrive till Friday morning here. And so we Zoomed with them Thursday night. We arrived here on Thursday morning and Zoomed with the Bills Thursday night before they left. And then we Zoomed with Trevor Lawrence on Saturday because our time, we visited with the Jaguars where they are staying here in London. And we spent so much great time with Doug Peterson, who is just a delightful human. Oh, and Josh Allen of the Jaguars, who is another delightful human. I love that guy. I mean, he is a professional football player. By that, I mean he makes his entire life about getting ready for trying to dismantle teams and getting his body ready, get his mind ready, and watching film. And he's got 3 small kids, one of whom was with his wife in downtown London, so he could have some family time as well while they were out here for an entire week. And then we met with Christian Kirk, and by that point, we couldn't meet with Trevor Lawrence. But the long story is because we have Zoomed. I Zoomed Jamie Erdahl staying here, and so is Kurt Warner. Same layout, same everything, the same everything. We have the same background, the same artwork on the wall, same everything. Does that answer your question on that front?
Yes, it does.
And the difference is also, I think we were before I was complaining about turn down service just for this program, that the photograph that I wanted to show during the TV only segment, we'll show it here if you don't mind, because it is part of the London game experience. Just to let everyone know, Andrew Brandt tweeted this out, saying that this is a group of fans walking into Tottenham Hotspur Stadium on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Is that
one
a
of them is
Waters
wearing
jersey?
It's a Ricky Waters Eagles jersey, a Brady Patriots jersey, an LT Chargers jersey, a Jim Kelly, and I believe a Devin Singletary up front.
Singletary, yeah.
Bills jersey,
Sean
a Heinz Ward
right.
Steelers jersey, a Sean Taylor Washington jersey.
That's awesome.
This is, and you could see there's a Green Bay fan that has a backpack on.
Yeah.
There's Niner jerseys up front. This is truly an example of what it is like to go to an international football game in London. You saw some of that in Munich last year as well. And I'm going to Frankfurt in a couple of weeks as well to call Chiefs Dolphins and then Patriots Colts. Can't wait to see the one win Patriots against Gardner Minshew. But long story short, this is exactly what it looks like when you walk into a stadium and you got in there. That said, when you walked into the state, got into the actual stadium, and I'm not just saying this because coordinating producer Mike Hoskins is listening. There were Bills fans all over the place. It is clear that Bills Mafia thought to themselves, let's go to London. That en masse, Western New York showed up. And the fans there, it was a true Bills home game. I was genuinely concerned about the Jaguars' ability to keep pace. And they just hit him. They hit him hard. They hit him with a right cross. And the defense was all over the place. And had three straight three and outs for the Bills offense. And the Bills had only four three and outs all season long coming into the game. And Trevor Lawrence made throws. Etienne made runs. Mm-hmm. And then in the third quarter, when the Bills were finally getting their game going, the Jaguars just kicked it up into a total different notch. And Doug Peterson saw in the fourth quarter, with the Bills being already depleted on defense coming in, and then losing Matt Milano in the first quarter, that he could lean on him, and they leaned on him hard. And the Jaguars came into London at 1-2, having lost two in a row, two of them against the Chiefs and the Texans at home. And then coming to London, they leave now above 500, no doubt with a ton of wind at their backs. It's where their season turned last year when they lost in London. Now they're 2-0 in London. And Lawrence made these throws. Calvin Ridley on third down, moving the chains. And Kirk and Etienne, they were terrific. This is the Jaguars team that I think we were all expecting to see coming into the season off of their playoff run from last year. And as for the Bills, they leave here completely battered. They are, just to call them banged up, I mean, they lost Trey White for the season. It looks like Milano is done for the season. And I know Taron Johnson got hurt and he came back in the game. And I just want to address the turf, because I know Bills fans heard what Taron Johnson had to say about the turf. I actually found out about the playing surface before the game. It's the first time anybody's ever played on it.
Oh.
It was installed, created. I was told it was created and installed in the San Antonio Alamo Dome and put into containers and shipped all the way over to London and had to be QC'd specifically by Tottenham, by the stadium and those that run the stadium, to the point where the rubber pellets in the turf weren't black. They were dark green, because that's the way Tottenham wanted it. Go figure. I have no idea if it was an aesthetic thing or not. And I know that, you know, the league was talking before the game about how fast the track was and how it was definitely, you walked on it and it felt softer to me than most turfs, but Taron Johnson said it felt like cement to him, and a ton of Bills got hurt. And this is the turf that the Ravens and Titans are going to play on Sunday. And not only that, this is the turf that's going to stay here in Tottenham for all future NFL games from now on. And it was created for that purpose. So I just wanted to throw all of that information out there for folks to chew on based on the game that I called yesterday.
A game that still did go down to the very end. It was a great one. And the fact that the Bills go home without Matt Milano and losing Trey White, they get Von Miller back, but they lose two of their most vital pieces anywhere on their roster, is devastating. Now the Ravens come over too after a just massive loss and a massive drop that should have been a win in Pittsburgh. I am told that is time, Rich, to overreact.
Let's do it. Hit it.
Hit it.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction
Mondays.
Monday.
Let's do it.
All right, Rich Eisen, are you ready?
I can feel it.
I can feel it. Our first ever international edition of Overreaction Monday. Okay, I know you said you only watched, like, what, the first half of the first quarter last night on Sunday night?
I watched it live before going to sleep. Because I'm a lead pipe wielding professional, since watched the contest.
I'm not sure if you have watched the whole thing. So you do know the final score was 42-10.
Yes, I do.
Rich, the Super Bowl is the 49ers to lose. They are now the betting favorite in Las Vegas.
Statement. I've been calling them the best team in the NFL. We're not there yet. We're just not there yet. It's still too much time. It's still just week five, Chris. It's still just week five. Injuries happen. We just talked about how the Bills came in on a three-game win streak, and then they left with Matt Milano getting carted off. They're playing like the Super Bowl favorites. That I can say. But theirs to lose because no one else can beat them? They're the only ones that can beat themselves? I can't say it. I need to see them against Philadelphia later this year. I need to see who they're going to face in the AFC and the Super Bowl. I need to see it. So right now I'll call that an overreaction. That's a very strong way to begin.
Wow, I'm kind of surprised. You've been all in on the Niners and Brock Purdy.
Well, I know that, but it's just things can change. It's theirs to lose. Like, I mean, right now they are playing the best in the NFL, and they just curb stomped one of the best in the NFL up to this point. So I understand where you're going, but I'll just call it an overreaction for the moment.
All right. Did you see what went on in South Florida yesterday?
I did.
They've got a lot of fast players playing for the Dolphins. That's an understatement. The next gen, they have numbers 1 through 7 on the fastest plays of the year. Devin Achane had a 22-mile-an-hour speed on his 76-yard touchdown run. Devin Achane, he's only played, a game and a half, it feels like? He's second in the NFL in rushing yards behind Christian McCaffrey.
You know what he's averaging?
Per carry?
Per carry.
What, like 38 yards a carry?
12 yards a carry.
That's insane. Rich, Devin Achane. So let me get his name right. Devin Achane.
Yes.
He's going to lead the NFL in rushing yards this year.
Oh, man. I'll call that an overreaction. I thought you'd say he's the offensive rookie of the year.
I think that's kind of a foregone conclusion at this point.
Is it? I mean, C.J. Stroud up until yesterday was doing things that very few quarterbacks have done. He still hasn't thrown an interception.
Rich, he's going to lead the NFL in rushing. He has 460 yards on only 38 attempts in 4 games.
Achane may wind up, I guess Tyreek Hill would be the offensive player of the year from that team, if that's who it is. I'll still need to see McCaffrey, whatever. I still think that's an overreaction, too, that he's going to lead the league in rushing. But being the offensive rookie of the year is not an overreaction. I think he'd be that guy. And it's kind of crazy that a running back in this league would be the offensive rookie of the year. And the offensive player of the year could be a running back in San Francisco, and which both prove the points that everyone's saying. That running backs deserve to be paid what they deserve to be paid because they're that valuable, and that you can get you don't have to pay running backs because somebody can come out of college and just do what Devin Achane is doing. So it's fascinating. I'll call that an overreaction.
A guy who barely played in the preseason. I don't even know if he got drafted in most fantasy leagues.
He got hurt in the preseason, too.
He's just crushing it.
I know, and I drafted him and then released him because he wasn't playing.
You released him?
Yep, that's the first turn down service I refused.
Well done. You are a wordsmith, Mr. Eisen. Okay, Rich, I saw a stat yesterday. This is going to be me venting about the Pats for a second. Mac Jones already has 4 pick sixes at home in less than 3 seasons. Tom Brady had 4 his entire career with New England.
Yeah.
It's really bad. He's really terrible. He's been benched now 2 straight games, even though Bill still says he's a starter. Forget the Jets. The Patriots are the ones who should trade for Kirk Cousins this year.
No, I think I'll say that's an overreaction. I think your season's
over,
not salvageable. Yeah, I think at this point in time, you're getting close to having 4 wins in the first 5 weeks and looking as bad as you've looked. You know, at home, on the road. Offensively, you know what? The thing that's kind of crazy too is like, what's happened in their run game?
Stevenson?
Ramondre Stevenson, it was a business decision out of the backfield every single time he touched it last year. And I thought him with Zeke would just be multiple business decisions. Mac can't throw it deep, so that you can't do anything right now. I'd be sitting here and I start thinking about Caleb if I were you, but
any of them,
you know. honestly.
Drake May, like, and if Michael Penix, Caleb, any one of them.
That's what I'm saying. And that's the whole, well, we'll talk about a little later when we're talking about the Patriots, but I'll call that an overreaction and ask you to move on.
Did you see the slobber knocker in Pittsburgh yesterday?
I did.
Ah, there's just the Ravens on the offense. It looks something's not going. I'm going to say the Ravens offense right now is broken as we know it.
Ooh. No. What do you mean by broken? What do you mean by that?
I mean not functioning like a team you want to see that can, you might think could win a playoff game.
How about this? I'll say that I think they can win a playoff game. I think they're going to make the playoffs. And I think they're going to, I will say this, that I'm, and I can't wait to see them here, you know, when we talk with them later this week. They're arriving, by the way, unlike the Bills arriving Friday of that week, they're arriving today. They're coming in tonight. They're spending the whole week here, like old school London week type material, where they're going to spend the whole week here. But I'm just stunned that it looks similar to what's been going on before, you know, in terms of the points, in terms of the efficiency.
And that's kind of what I mean, because like you bring in Todd Monken, you got all these new receivers.
Yeah,
I just thought they were going to be kind of high flying and winging. I mean, it doesn't help that they can't catch the ball. Zay Flowers, Nelson Aguilar.
But if by saying broken, you can't put it back together, I'll call that an overreaction. But the offense is definitely sputtering to the point where it does appear fractured. I'll call that as I see it there for sure. Yeah.
All right, two more. And I apologize to TJ on the front end of this one.
Oh,
God. Dak's best days as Cowboys quarterback are behind him.
That's an overreaction. I can't believe that yet. I can't believe that yet. What happened two weeks ago? What happened week one? What happened? Come on now. Come on.
But was Dak making plays? Was he winging it around and getting them in the end zone and the red zone? I mean, come on.
His days of 400 yards passing and three touchdowns accounting for four, like a Josh Allen type game, five touchdowns accounting for, I would say yes, those days are over.
He can't run. He's not using his feet to get first downs and move the chains.
I will say that. But his best days as a quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, I mean, he could still be a guy that you can win a Super Bowl with. I mean, my gosh. I mean, really?
Do we miss Kellen Moore?
I don't know if you miss. You know, you miss. I'll tell you who you miss. You miss Amari Cooper. That's who you miss.
Yeah, well.
You miss somebody receiver, like Zeke.
Yeah.
That's what you miss. You miss. Honestly, who's scaring you? If you lock up CeeDee Lamb, you know, what, you're concerned Gallup's going to beat you deep? Brandon Cook's going to beat you deep? What are you concerned? Turpin, looks like he's out for 6 weeks? I mean, nobody's circling anybody on that Cowboys team other than Pollard. And CeeDee Lamb, and Pollard hasn't had those big, huge breaking runs. And part of that might be is because he's being used differently and he's the lead back in a way that, you know, you got to figure out other ways to maybe get him loose. So maybe that's it. Sure, the Kellen Moore had an opportunity to do that. But Amari Cooper, man.
16th in passing yards. He's 20th in passer rating. He has only five touchdowns on the season.
Chris,
what's your last one?
Randy Moss said he still had a few red zone touchdowns left. Maybe we should get on the phone something. And call 84.
That would be bad.
Last one, Rich. I know you saw the college scores over the weekend. We are heading for a Georgia-Michigan national championship battle royale.
Let's go.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Let's go. Yeah.
That's not an overreaction at all. At all. I'll tell you one thing that I was doing
there on Saturday.
I'll tell you one thing I was doing during the meeting on Saturday night. We had a meeting at, what would that be, 2 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock local here in London. I was monitoring those Maryland Terrapins. I was getting ready.
So close.
Could have been 14 to nothing, dropped a touchdown.
I had the Breaking Bad Tortuga memes, you know, with a head on the back of a turtle. I had already, you know,
Danny Trejo.
Buckeyes head to West Lafayette to get the Boilers noon Eastern on Peacock coming up.
Let me tell you
Saturday.
Something. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. By the way, I saw that Michigan versus Michigan State is going to be on NBC on a Saturday night. They moved that to a night game. Oh, baby. That is going to... I tweeted out that dinner is going to be the Sparty and a nice Chianti. That is going to be awesome. in front of everybody to see the dismantling that is coming to East Lansing. Oh, I cannot wait. And I can't, as you know, I don't usually talk this sort of smack, but I'm doing it right now.
With your chest.
That said, that's not an overreaction, baby. They are the two best teams. We're seeing it.
Oh,
you tell me, am I wrong?
100%.
Okay. Thank you.
100%.
Ohio State would like a seat at the table. They get Purdue this week. They get Penn State on Fox at noon next week.
Let's see.
Yeah,
let's see. And Michigan's got a gauntlet at Penn State, at Maryland, home for Ohio State before all that. That said, I don't think that's an overreaction at all.
They're yelling at me, and I'm not overreacting to Hoskins yelling at me that we got a break. Rich Eisen in London. We're all here. This is the Rich Eisen Show. Back momentarily. Don't go anywhere.
Susie Schuster and Amy Trask present offbeat conversations and expert sports commentary as they ask, what the football?
When my family found out how long it took me to figure out why Charles Woodson named his wine Intercept, they said, there's a reason that you had trouble in school.
You know, not everyone knows, you know, when they think of a bottle of Intercept, they don't know that I play football.
Well, what I've learned is a smooth defensive back can make smooth wine.
That's what it's all about.
What the Football with Susie Schuster and Amy Trask. The podcast is available Tuesdays, wherever you listen.
When you see the video of you throwing to Tyree, okay, what do you think of when you see that?
I just smile. I'm just thankful for David Tyree, man. There's not a better person and a guy who just, who had the worst week of practice in the history of all practices on that Friday and dropped every pass and, thought he was going to be the starting receiver. And then Plaxico, comes back and plays that game. And then, sure enough, in the game, David Tyree has a touchdown catch. And then make speed catch, with Rodney Harrison hanging all over him.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Poppy giving the call saying, he's got a wide open receiver, and I guess that's wide open in the NFL. And, David Tyree, just the will, desire was there and just catching it off the helmet. Just what an unbelievable story. Never get tired of watching that play.
All right, well, Chris Brockman, my on-air compadre here. What do you tell him? Go ahead, tell him what you say every time. Now that he's here, you can say it to his face. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, usually I say it to Sean O'Hara because Sean is here. But, right. I mean, there were 14 different holdings on that play.
He sees holding. Eli, what do you say to that? When he says
holding?
Yeah, he sees holding.
I didn't see it. How can you have holdings? They didn't block anybody. Someone just like, all right. Let them run in. I almost get sat by all four players. They kind of just blocked them off. It's not really holding. If the guy's holding me, like a defense player is holding me, I think you're allowed to do whatever you want to the pass rusher at that point. If I'm in the grass, they can just grab them also and pull them off. It's kind of free range at that point.
I agree. You, Chris, you see holding. Eli sees grasping. That's what he sees.
I see the greatest play ever.
That's right. There's a giant right there.
Eli. I was sitting right there.
I was there in the building.
That's it.
Of course, holding can be called on every play. Hi, it's Andrew sitting in for Rich. Rich is here from London as well. It's my job to tell you that you can stream the NFL like tonight's game in Vegas, the Packers and the Raiders on Westwood One for free, sponsored by AutoZone. All season long, you can listen to every Westwood One broadcast of the NFL live on the NFL app or by asking Alexa to open WWO Sports or on your Westwood One affiliate station's digital platforms. You can stream Kevin Harlan and Kurt Warner and Rich all season long for free. Get in the zone with AutoZone. The free AutoZone Fix Finder service can help you find a fix for free. Get in the zone, Rich.
AutoZone.
Restrictions do apply.
well done by you guys.
Thank you.
Teamwork there. You want to get to the Patriots?
Sure. Let's talk about the Patriots here for a few minutes. I've never seen it like this, man. And you can't sit here and say, that Belichick's less than without Brady when, he won 11 games with Matt Castle. And it's just a total complete roster degrading.
Isn't that the bigger issue
coming?
Belichick, well, the GM?
The Belichick, the GM, is an issue. And part of that was last year having Mac Jones coached in a crucial season by two guys that shouldn't have coached him. But Bill O'Brien was supposed to fix that. And I just see a team that, who are you afraid of when you play them? Unfortunately for them, the guy that you're afraid of is out in Matt Judon. That's the guy that you're afraid of. Who else are you afraid of? It's not Juju Smith-Schuster with a gimpy knee. It's not any of the young speedy receivers that they have drafted and haven't really blossomed. The run game, that's the thing that stuns me. The run game. I mean, Mac Jones used to be in all these third and manageables. Now he's not. And that's what leads to a lot of these pick sixes. You know, they can't run it. And now they can't stop you. And that has to do with injuries. I mean, Bill hit, let's be honest, you want to talk about his roster building. He hit on that kid from Oregon in the draft before he got hurt for the rest of the year. I mean, that and he worked the draft board masterfully, you know, allowing the Steelers to take the offensive lineman that I think we all think the Jets are going to take. They keep saying that that's not who they were going to take. But, you know, the first round of the draft, Bill handled that masterfully. But Mac Jones has just totally fallen apart. I have no idea how this happened. And part of that is the running game has fallen apart. I mean, Zeke has done nothing. I thought he'd have affected a game at some point by this point, but not at all. I just got to feel that Bill's just going to have to figure it out at some point, because he always does.
Well, in our final minute here on the radio, before we step aside briefly, not going to play Belichick, not enough time. But what he said after the game was, we have
make
to
changes.
Go back and restart everything. Like, go back to the beginning. Except we're heading into week six. And you can't tear it down mid-season. The roster hay is in the barn. And, yeah, Christian Gonzalez is out for the year. And Matt Judon looks to be out for the year. And without those two key pieces on defense and without anyone who can get open and with the blocking issues offensively, I don't know how you do that. And that is their dilemma.
It is. And, you know, I don't know how much time's left because I don't want to keep talking before. Okay, very good. Well, hour three. I'm going to stick around.
All right.
Rich is going to stick around.
I'm not leaving.
No, he's not leaving.
And the thing is, Rich, if you look at week one, you know, one of my overreactions on the podcast was, hey, Bill O'Brien kind of fixed the offense. After 1 week, they looked really good. They moved the ball. They scored 20 points and had a chance to beat the Eagles. And since week one, they've scored 30 points combined.
I don't know what the hell's happened. The run game. The run game has just disappeared. They cannot affect anything at the line of scrimmage. And if I'm Bill Belichick, you know, and I'm in charge of the franchise, and maybe he wants to keep coaching there for a long time. You have no idea what's going on in his skull. Again, this is not the guy you would ever associate the word tank with. Caleb Williams would be a great way for him to go out on top. And my apologies to Mac Jones, but the Patriots are already a third of the way. Mm-hmm. Almost to getting what you have to do for Caleb Williams. And I can guarantee you Caleb Williams would want to play there too. In the same way that I say, whole Rick Dalton, Jeff. Oh, why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't
you play for the New England Patriots? Well, My goodness.
You want to go up there with no playmakers? Yeah, and Bill? I like Bill O'Brien. Don't get me wrong. And obviously Bill Belichick's got the skins of the wall. He's the greatest of all time in our final 30 seconds here.
Wherever you're going to go.
Williams and his dad are talking here.
Right, but wherever you're going to go, drafted first overall, you're probably not going to have too many weapons. Nobody's going to come out and trade from the playoff spot in a draft to go get him.
That's true.
So I'm just talking about places to play. I got you. And having a guy like Belichick maybe coach you before handing him off to somebody else.
Right now, the Patriots are 15th in the AFC. 15th out of 16.
Oh.
Every Monday, Rich Eisen and Chris Brockman react to what's happening in the world of football on Overreaction Monday.
Dolphins, Final Four AFC team.
Oh, that is not an overreaction at all. I'm with you.
You're in.
I am in. The other three Final Four teams, if you ask me to call my shot, this is the Overreaction Monday podcast.
Call your shot.
Entertainment purposes only, unless I'm right.
Yeah.
Chiefs, Dolphins, Bills, Ravens.
Ravens.
Final Four.
Overreaction Monday, the podcast, wherever you listen.